Express yourself. Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself. Whatever you do, do it good. Whatever you do, 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 Lord, Lord, do it good. All right. It's not what you look like when you're doing what you're doing. It's what you're doing when you're doing what you look like you're doing. Express yourself.
Ho, 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 ho. Welcome back to Express Yourself, everybody. Your weekly update each and every Friday afternoon from Katie and Kay and the Carbondale Creative District. The latest and greatest on the creative happenings up and down the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. I'm one of your hosts today, Brian Colley, and I'm joined by Amy Kimberly, a.k.a. Ms. Moon.
Oh, yeah.
A.k.a. the hippest executive director of Carbondale Arts. We oversee the creative district. And we've got a great show lined up for everyone today.
Right? Wow. Yeah, we sure do. Wow, it's like the skies have cleared and there is lots to take in, lots of really rich cultural happenings out there.
Exactly.
So what do we got coming up?
Well, later in this program, we've got an interview with artist Chris Hassig, who you probably know as a Katie and Kay DJ. He's part of a group show called Nature Nurture that just opened this week at Sky Gallery in Aspen. In another 35, 40 minutes, we'll have Katie and Kay's music director, Cody Lee, in the studio with the chat with local Carbondale author, healer, and spiritual teacher, Jess Jacobson, discussing her first book, For Trees So Tall, that was just released a few weeks ago. But first, we have some special guests.
Yeah, it's so awesome to have people here live in the studio.
Yay.
And we are here with Gabriela Alvarez Espinoza and Carlos Herrera, and we are going to talk about Nuestras Voces Teatro en Español. Did I say that right?
I'm not,
I don't have a great accent. Let's hear you say it.
Nuestras Voces Teatro en Español, sí.
Sí. Awesome.
To say it correctly.
And this is an original theater project created by local Latin creatives, which that field just seems to be growing and growing. And it's very exciting to see the many different avenues that are happening out there. This show is all Spanish language, correct?
Yes.
And there will be a translator. Is that? Yeah.
Yes, there's going to be some translation for... you know, with earphones and stuff. But the whole show is in Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. Very exciting.
Cool. Wow.
And it's from an array of people from throughout the valley. And it is directed by Gabriela.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So first, and just for the listening audience, it will be at TACA, the arts campus at Willits, which just recently opened. So it's really exciting to get to have this amazing venue.
Yes.
And it is tomorrow evening at 7 and Sunday at 2?
Yeah. At 2, exactly.
Yeah.
The open door is at 7 tomorrow.
Yeah. And the show at 7:30.
Yes, mm-hmm. And 1:30 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's great. And folks out there, it is a free show, but you should go on and reserve tickets because I think it's going to be a highly popular show. So
yeah. Right, the website, the Takao website.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, let's dive right in with how this concept all started, Gabriela.
Well, it has been like a Voices project to provide this opportunity to all Latin community and Latin creatives.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked me if I wanted to do this project, and I obviously say yes. Then I was in looking for people who wanted to participate, and I reached with Carlos and Claudia Paul, and then Claudia introduced me with some other people interested also in arts as a dancers or storytellers. And then finally we had this group, and we started like having meetings in July, I think.
End of July, August.
Yes,
yeah.
At the end of July, just to start like talking about us, yeah, and what what everyone wanted to say, or yeah, each one wanted to
like
say.
Brainstorming.
Yes, know. Exactly. A brainstorming about things that we wanted to say, and yeah.
And then from there, you kind of imagined the show. You created a layout of all these ideas. Is that how it worked?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the process was, in since we were a diverse group, as Gabriela is saying, we ended up like with 7-8 people, and just we chatted and spent like a whole morning, almost 4 or 5 hours, brainstorming, trying to come to like a main idea. Well, because it was way open, like, okay, we are to create something. It's a collective. Everyone will have a piece. So at the end of a long talk, we came with dance as a theme. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what, but that was like at the beginning of August. Wow. Dance, and then slowly it started to shape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so and right now is the perspective of each of us towards dance.
Exactly.
What is dance, or what dance represents in our lives, in our culture? And it's really cool because there are really interesting perspectives and ways to approach dance. And yeah, we choose dance because it's one of the main characteristics of Latin America. I think we're famous because of dance and the different ways of dancing. It's not the only one. Other peoples in the world, they have dance as well and music. But since we inherited all these different traditions and cultures, it's like a pot of boring stuff. Yeah.
It really is. And you know, dance has its own language. In
yep.
itself,
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting to explore that, too. Wow. Okay. So,
yes.
and Gabriela, I know that you are a dancer, and then Carlos. I mean, my goodness, you're a different kind of dancer.
Yeah, I'm a different
you're always
kind.
Out there
I'm...
on the dance floor. Yeah. So fantastic. Now, who all is in the show? I know Claudia Paul is.
Claudia Paul, Sandra Prado,
Sandra, Estela,
Estelita,
Marlin, Marlin from Dominican Republic, and who else? Sandra,
so many different
Flor from Ballet Folklorico.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Flor, wow!
So yeah, it's a diverse group.
Yeah.
And how does it go? Does each person present? Is it woven together? Are there times when you're all together out there?
Yes, we have times where we are all together, and when maybe one idea, you know, is from someone idea or what this person wanted to say, but everyone is participating. Like maybe we have like scenes where it's a dialogue or monologues, or where everyone is in it. We have also like mime, scene. Yeah, it's diverse, but everything it's about like dancing and movement and what, as Carlos said, like what dance is in your life. It's like a dance as a metaphor of life, actually.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that one of the things that we were told when we were approached, say, you want to participate, and Gabriela and Rene, the director of Voices, and say, well, you create a piece, your own, this is your property, it's not ours, we just help you, and then it's yours, like it's a creative process. So it's individual, but the group as a whole, we collaborate in a way to present that idea, that like a dream, the story that we are telling. It's like a storytelling. Mm-hmm. And so everybody else helps with the little dancing here and there. Mm-hmm. But we want to make clear that it's called dance, but it's not a musical. It's something else, right?
Yeah,
it's not a musical. Dance is there a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's about our lives. Everyone is the turning of age, the experiences that they had growing up, mm-hmm. each of us, and how dance has affected us. So it's more about the personal stories.
Right. And I would imagine, because if I was in Mexico, let's say, and had to do a whole performance there in Spanish, that would, you know, I would be nervous the whole time because I'd have to remember those words and, you know, and but what a freedom when I can speak in my own language and perform in my own language. It's you can really then explore. It takes away that layer of having to use your brain in a certain way to remember things.
Yes.
So maybe you could talk to that, because I know Gabby and Carlos, you both have performed in English and Spanish, but, you know, how does it feel to be able to just, like, let it all out there in your own language?
Yeah. Well, I can talk about that because, through the years in the Valley, I've done a lot of poetry nights and readings, in both in English and Spanish, and definitely there, each language has its own singularity. And, and yeah, it's different. Well, the native tongue, and you can express more. And there are concepts that you cannot translate in just one word.
Yes.
I like the example always in Spanish and English, like the los celajes. Celajes is a word like celajes. Mm-hmm. You say, how did you translate that? I said, well, I have to explain, like half an hour explaining that celajes. You know, that time of the day, the light is changing, the sunset. Huh. But it's not the sunset, it's the whole thing and the color. So I'm already spending a lot of stuff. And then in Spanish, you just say celaje, you just get the idea of the whole thing, right?
Yes, that's true.
So, like that kind of, and vice versa, it would be the same probably in the rich English language. There are concepts that we have to explain somewhere else in Spanish. So you lose a little bit, but definitely there is something of that. Yeah, we feel more comfortable in our own language.
Yes, and I think like we can be more creative in this way because we have this freedom of we know these words and then we can change them or maybe play more with it. Then when it's in English, it's much more literal, everything, you know, because it's obvious. But that's true, like so many words that cannot be translated in English, then you just feel like, oh, okay, I can say it in Spanish because it's this, you know, and everyone who speaks Spanish can understand this concept of.
Like in my case, the piece that I wrote, I play with words. It's something that I, even in English, I like to play with the words and just play because this is, I don't know, it has something attractive to it. Anyway, so I wrote the piece, and there are a lot of words that if they were to be translated, it's kind of hard to translate because they don't have any meaning.
Yeah, that's
just,
true. That Carlos
just pieces. A translation, yeah.
Yeah, and, it will be interesting, like how it will be translated, because it's really like he is playing all the time with the words and with the, not just you know, the words,
and
but
sounds.
The sounds of these the words, yeah. And it's just like, oh. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see. Maybe
and,
it just stays.
And that's not that's not new. There was a movement like 100 years ago, like in the 20s, 30s in Latin America, a lot of famous poets and writers, especially from Cuba, Nicolás Guillén and Alfonso Reyes and others, they started doing that. It's just like it opens the expression. You are not limited to the framework of the language and the literature and the grammar rules. So, and in English, I've seen also there are also words of you play, especially the kids. You make up words that it makes sense for the kids, for the adults, and you know, like childish talk. You know, are the same, but they cannot be translated.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited to experience it, and you know, sometimes, especially in art, maybe you don't need to know every single word, you know, for you know, sometimes it's just really being able to pick up on what you feel and sense and hear. So for me, who's not a fluent Spanish speaker, I think that'll be a really interesting experience. And then I think I know a lot of people from the community, the Latinx community, that are going. So it'll be
really super fantastic. Too, because I feel like we need more, like, you know, like this open, because I know so many people that doesn't speak English. And I'm just like, so I'm happy for that. Like, also be able to represent these voices and that they can hear and be heard.
Well, that is fabulous. Now, before we go, I do want to hear a little snippet from Carlos, but also give people the information. You can find out about Voices, which that alone is an amazing organization. And besides this performance, they did the Artery all summer. You might have seen the Artery. And I remember driving by just this fall where they had the Latin
creatives.
And it just, it just had such a great feel going on out there.
Yes.
And so they were, it was the mini stage that people could see throughout the summer at different places.
Willits here in Carbondale and Glenwood.
And then you work with, they work with kids in school, right?
Yes, too. For a journal, visual journaling with middle schools and with a new immigrant and, emergent bilinguals.
So after this weekend, are you guys talking about the next show already? Are there ideas swirling or what's the thought?
Yeah, actually, there is some talk about that in the group, because since this show is a little limited, not everybody can go in, so we want to have another show that really everybody can go.
Yeah, those days are coming, one of these days.
We will have another show, and then when we talk about, well, parenthesis, most of the participants in the group are ladies, so I think I'm the only male in the group. But that's the way it happened, because there were other guys, but they at the end they drop off, and so
But see, you don't know who's going to start showing up now. You know, once that seed is planted out there, and people see, I might have a chance to be able to express myself.
Who knows where it could go? Yeah, that's exactly the point.
And who will show up? Mm-hmm. There is this amazing singer who's rather famous. I can't remember his name, but he was on the First Fridays with us, and he lives in Rifle. What's his?
It's not as he's a guitarist, but I don't know the singer.
He is. I'll have to remember it and get it to you guys. Because I didn't know about him.
Please.
But when we did First Fridays, for Dia de los Muertos last year, when we couldn't do it, we did this show, and this gentleman was on, and I'd never heard of him, but a lot of people in the community know about him. He's a crooner. He's
that's great.
So I just have a feeling as this grows, I mean, more and more people are like,
I know. I think like this is like the big, the main goal for Voices. You know, like people know about like they can do it. They have this platform to do it, and
Yeah, that is so exciting. If anyone wants to find out more about Voices, it's voicesrfv.org. And you can always go to Taka to find out about the show and get your tickets. And I do believe that's Taka.org, but I could be wrong.
Yes, it's Taka.org.
So,
and they have it in Spanish, too, for people who, like, you can switch your language in English or Spanish.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's go out with, let's hear just a little snippet. And this is something that you wrote, Carlos?
Yes, that's the whole point. All the different pieces are original. We wrote them. I wrote like a poem, my perception of dance. And for me, dance has been with us since the beginning, so I call it in the beginning. Okay. Tam, 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 tam. Baile. En el principio era el baile. Boom, boom, boom. La repetición primaria de sonidos y vibraciones que nos llegan desde lo profundo del universo y el centro del caos. Sonidos que vienen acompañados de movimiento. Son movimiento. Sístole, diástole. Subir, bajar. Los extremos de un continuum. Ir, venir. Bajamar, pleamar. And keeps going.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yes. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Carlo.
I'm very excited to see what this talented group of people are going to put forth. So thank you so much for doing this, and thank you for taking a little time and
coming in and being here with us. Great.
Well,
yes.
And I think what I want to add is that we are just common people. We are no pros. Everybody is just like, volunteers, and we had this great opportunity. Entonces,
yes.
Me too. I appreciate the opportunity, voices, and Gabriela directing the show. Because we had our little perspectives, but to put it together as a one whole, that was Gabriela's job.
Well, that's exciting. And I'll just remind everyone, too, that Carbondale here is, we're preparing for a big Dia de los Muertos celebration. It's going to be on the 5th of November, which isn't the true Dia, but it will be First Fridays. And Ballet Folklorico is going to be dancing. We'll have the big procession. We have a community mural, so we'd love people to come and add to the, community ofrenda. And then some fire spinning, and it'll all be outside, and Ballet Folklorico will dance outside, and they put on the masks and all the different costumes, and it's just a beautiful celebration, and...
Yes.
So we hope everyone will join us for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you both.
No,
we'll
thank you
see you this weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll
see you.
See you
there.
Abajo de loco mi destino, tu negra mi delirio, hay luna pa' mi joven. Zumba sanera mama, zumba sanera mami, zumba sanera me zumbo a mi mami. Zumba sanera mama, zumba sanera mami, zumba sanera me zumbo a mi mami. Mami, 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 mami.
Thank you so much to Gabriela and Carlos and Amy for that great interview about voices. Coming up this weekend, check out voicesrfv.org Saturday, 7:30, and Sunday at 2 p.m. at Takah. Next up, I got to sit down with local mixed media artist and KDNK DJ Chris Hassig, who is part of a group show called Nature Nurture, that opened this past Tuesday at Sky Gallery up in Aspen. Here's Chris.
Hello, my name is Chris Hassig, and I'm an artist, and I have a show that is up currently at the Sky Gallery up in Aspen, downtown Aspen.
Yeah, and how was the opening? That was just on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it was on Tuesday night, and it also features the work of Nancy Lovendahl and Strange Dirt, two other artists.
Strange Dirt.
Yeah, and I think it's worth checking out. There's some interesting stuff up there.
And for those not familiar with Chris Hassig, the man, the myth, the legend, here with me in the studio right now, like, tell people about your art. I mean, it's a radio show, and if people aren't familiar with your work, like, describe all the stuff that you do. You do so many things, and so well.
I can just flatter you on the radio.
Oh, God. At least in terms of the visual arts, I guess the foundation for me is mostly drawing. And I make drawings. These drawings are mostly mixed media pieces, pen, ink, watercolor, charcoal, pastel. But I also do printmaking projects. Some people might have seen a show last year at the Launchpad, and maps in printmaking.
Because the mixed media thing you've been doing for a long time, I mean, maybe it was initially pen and ink, the intensely detailed like grass drawings up close.
Yeah. And there are actually two of those in this show. This show is kind of a good way to get a sense of a little bit of my transformation over the last maybe 5 years.
Cool.
Because it does start with, or the piece that might pull you off the street is a great big red triangle piece. So I have definitely been moving in more and more of a mixed media direction over the last 5 years. But you get to see sort of it becoming a little less planned out and a little bit more maybe chaotic, but also, I don't know. Yeah.
So the true artist in you is like struggling to like get out. I mean, I can see like the fine detail might be a little constrictive. So I wonder, like, how have you seen yourself evolve as an artist from the pen and ink and now what you're saying maybe more chaotic? Or what does that look like?
Well, for me, I think a big thing for me has been getting more into the process itself, I guess. The grass drawings required kind of a lot of planning in advance, and they were very much once the work is sort of set in motion, the process was kind of very predictable. It was not predictable in the like micro miniature scale, which is obviously was constantly an improvisation, but like the overall thing was much more defined. And I think maybe it's a reflection of, you know, our evolving world and whatnot. But I think I've been maybe reflecting to some degree the chaos and unpredictability of our world. So these newest drawings become much more of a unexpected exploration sort of. My favorite ones are the new ones, which are more sort of landscape and color oriented. My favorite ones are ones that were actually probably the most had the lowest lows at one point in the process. So I've been sort of going through these process of like creation and then destruction and then resurrection. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, that to me it's super satisfying to me when I can rescue something from the from the pit.
Isn't easy all the time, especially with.
No.
Watercolor and probably charcoal. I mean, imagine you can erase a little bit with charcoal and maybe,
And you get to, and I've done a fair amount of erasing and stuff like that. And that actually, you can never, especially with charcoal, you can't erase, but you can, when you erase, you get to yet another medium almost of its own is sort of erased marks and stuff. So I have played with that quite a bit and layering things up quite a bit and then cutting back down with the eraser back to stuff that's been submerged by later layers of the art.
So. Talk about the landscape a little bit. What does that work look like? I think I know kind of from your past work, but maybe that's in a new direction.
Yeah, it's not a overt landscape. Maybe it is getting closer to that. I've been trying to sort of walk this tightrope walk where it can be interpreted either abstractly or representationally. But a lot of them are kind of done from memory or from kind of archetype to some degree. And then the process at some point takes over and I often start with sort of an idea of a landscape and I'm working towards that. And then at some point the drawing has to just become its own battlefield.
I can see that looking at your work, actually. Battlefield. That's a good analogy. Oh my gosh. And then like what drives that inspiration? Where's the inspiration come from to do like a landscape or a detailed drawing? Where does that come from? And is there something behind it, or is it just something that comes out of you that just needs to be there on the paper or canvas or whatever?
Well, I guess I have been spending more time here in the mountains, and I think it's very hard to escape the influence of our landscape here. It's very sort of omnipresent. Mm-hmm. And so I think that has definitely seeped into my work. And then I would say experiences I've had wandering around the mountains or the desert or on rivers and things like that, trying to kind of maybe capture a little bit of that lightning in the bottle or whatever feeling that you get from being in such, you know, amazingly, I don't know, you know, nature is the greatest artist by far. Yeah, anybody, I'm sure anybody would agree with that, who's wandered around above timberline or amongst the Zen gardens of the desert or whatever. So I'm trying to sort of sneak up on it from behind, I guess, and through these patterns and kind of trying to maybe almost mimic the processes of building and erosion and whatnot that you get out of that the landscape itself was built with over much longer periods of time. But
wow, that's really cool. I can picture you out there like a hunter. I mean, you don't really do anything on location, but just having those experiences.
Just sketches and things, yeah.
You do some sketches, okay.
Yeah, I do terrible sketches, yeah.
Those are often the best kind, actually.
They lead you somewhere. And you know, if I really stick to it and I do 10 or 11, then that 10th one might be okay.
Okay. Practice and patience, all those kind of things.
And serendipity, yeah.
Serendipity. Chris, you do so many other things in your life. For those who don't know you, you're also a KD&K DJ. Are you on every Friday?
I'm on every other Friday.
Yeah.
And then, well, depending. And then Tuesday nights as well. I do jazz opposite Cody. So.
That's right. What else are you up to these days? Are you exploring in the fall weather? Are you?
Yep. Been out there. What a beautiful fall it's been. So I've been wandering around a bunch of different places. It's been nice. And then also working on some other graphic design projects and things like that.
So. And you've got a studio over at Saw, which you've been, how long have you been over there now?
Well, maybe 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see you there, and I can kind of see when you've been out in the wild and you've got the crazy look in your eye, and maybe you're going to make something cool again in the studio. What's next for you? You've got this show. Well, let's talk about the show for a second. How long is that up for?
It's up till November 10th.
Perfect.
It's at Sky Gallery right downtown. Mm-hmm. Across from where Boogies used to be.
Right.
And Sky Wine Glass is Boogies' daughter, so there is a lineage there, but she's really taken the program to a really cool, interesting.
She's so great with supporting, you know, not only local artists, but bringing in like artists from around the country, and I think probably international artists as well.
And Strange Dirt would fall into that category.
Okay.
She's from Denver, and she's got a massive internet following, and she does really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I would say almost sort of futuro arts and crafts. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're pretty thought-provoking, I think. And then Nancy has some really nice stuff. Some of the mountain pieces you might have seen last month at the launch pad.
Right.
And then she has some really nice stone sculpture pieces as well.
Oh, great. I mean, you're not going to be disappointed to go to Sky's gallery and check out what she's got, you know, through the year. So
yeah,
highly recommend going to see this show. And so this show's up through November 10th. And then what else have you on the horizons of the art world?
I'm definitely feel like I'm still in the middle of exploring this latest phase of kind of the destruction and resurrection series.
Like
I don't know.
Yeah, I love that idea though.
I definitely, there's a lot to discover there. I'm also looking to get a little bit more involved politically in Carbondale with, you know, with trying to make sure we have affordable housing and stuff like that. And
we love that.
I definitely care a lot about our creative environment, and I definitely believe it's threatened at the moment.
Well, that's great to have the support for the creative district and the future of Carbondale, especially with the younger generation like ours. It's great to have that support. Anything else you want to throw in there? in the mix?
I don't think so.
Hope people get inspired to go see this show at Sky Gallery in Aspen. Thanks so much for taking time today, Chris.
Good yeah, to you're you. Welcome.
The ocean, but there's some karma on my mind. There's a place where I am going, it's out of my control, so I'm gonna coast for a little while. Oh brother, there's a light, I know I saw it in my father. Couldn't ease her worried mind, even though he really loved her. It's out of my control, so I'm gonna coast for a little while. It's out of my control, so I'm gonna coast for a little while.
Welcome back to Express Yourself. I'm Cody Lee. I'm in the studio now, joined with local author, healer, and spiritual teacher, Jess Jacobson, who just released her first book called For Trees So Tall. And Jen Cleary, the CEO of The Wandering, says, For Trees So Tall reminded me of what it feels like to have true connection in our spirit to nature. Each other and God. If anyone is in search of more enlightenment through struggle or peace in an overstimulated world and hope in overcoming, this book is a must read. I'm joined in the studio live with Jess today. How are you doing, Jess?
I'm great, Cody. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm really proud of this book.
Great. So, when did you release the book this year?
Yeah, I just released it about 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
I started on this journey probably 2 years ago. Really only wrote actively for maybe 9 months. But there's this unique thing that happens with books where they almost write themselves. They have their own intention. And so I wrote the wrong book a few times first, or a lot of wrong pages. And then I just finally allowed this to move through me. And it was a very incredible healing experience. I'm very different having finished the book than I was when I started.
Tell us about For Trees So Tall.
Well, it's a memoir revealing the nature of connection. And that's really a double entendre, because it's not only about, it's not only a coming of age story, but it's our connection to wild places and how wild places can help us heal our hearts. And that's definitely what it did for me as a child growing up in Aspen. I grew up in some of the very first affordable housing units in Snowmass. I think they're called the Snowmass Creek Apartments. And I played a lot in Snowmass Creek. My family moved to the area in 1976 and started a fur business. And we were the largest furrier west of the Mississippi. And, of course, that was perfect for 1970s in Aspen. But we were a very, very poor, destitute family, and we went from rags to riches in just a few years. And the consequence of that was quite, in one way, right, there's a polarity. In one way, the consequence was horrifying for me. But I found peace and respite in nature even at 5 years old, and that's really where my love affair with the natural world started. Kind of escaping all the cocaine and partying that was my childhood.
Wow.
And so even though in many ways it was brutal, I recognize how lucky I am to have had that exposure to the natural world in that way.
So I see it here in the release for the book. It says that your specialty is working with intergenerational trauma. Can you speak about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say almost all of us carry some intergenerational trauma with us. And while this is a coming of age story, what really happens is there was a trigger, we'll call it, in my life when I was 19 years old that sent me in the direction of, I don't want to give too much away here, but reactivated my childhood trauma and my mother's trauma. And I didn't realize that I was carrying that around from when I was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically reenacted the trauma as a 19-year-old that I experienced as a child, which was actually, in fact, my mother's trauma. And she had sort of just imparted that energy on me at a very young age. And, of course, when you're young, you don't know what's happening, and you just sort of absorb it. And somewhere along the way, that has to be worked out. And I definitely worked that out.
And you became aware of this at about age 19, or looking back
for sure. It was actually escaping this choice that I made and coming back to the mountains and talking to my mother where everything sort of became alive, and I began to heal that pain and that suffering that I had recreated in my body. But most of us have this. And this is sort of the rule in the healing world, is that if your family has gone through trauma and they did not have the tools or the ability to process it, very often they will pass that down to their children. And of course, that's unconscious, but it is what happens. And so a lot of the work I do as a healer is helping people let go of that stuff that's not really theirs to hold.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a really bold work to take on, to, you know, face yourself, your shadow.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like, we are all love. Like, that's it. That's what we are. And my practice, or what I hope to offer people in my healing practice, is to help you remember that. Even with all of the baggage and the challenges, it's about remembering that we really are love, and it's okay.
Wow, that's excellent. So I've known you for some years here in Carbondale in the Roaring Fork Valley, and I know that you have a career and a family. You have three kids. How the heck did you get the chance to sit down and write a book? When did you finally just snap and decide that you had to do it?
Honestly, I was looking for some guidance. We had as you know, maybe not everyone knows, of course, but we had a pizza shop in Glenwood for 4 years. I took a break from my healing practice and supported my husband. And when we sold that, I felt like I needed to do something really meaningful. And this showed up. I had contacted a psychic and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but something big. And she said, it's time for you to write. And like I said before, I thought maybe it would be like a healing book, how to heal yourself, how to find self-love. And in fact, it was for my own healing that I wrote this book. And I hope that people will feel that they are not alone, and they will recognize through these stories that they too can heal themselves. And they're, you know, it's all through story, but you will find that the natural world can really do a lot for you.
We're talking to local author Jess Jacobson, who just released her first book called For Trees So Tall. And Jess, did this take you like a couple years to...
It was just 9 months of writing.
That's still a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it rested a lot. There was a lot of times I put it away and it just sort of rested and created itself sort of in the corner, if you will. And I would come back to it and it would tell me what was next. And actually, there is a second book. And so far, everyone who's read the first one immediately gets in touch with me and says, where's the second book? So I think that's a good sign. But I do not expect that to be out for at least another year and a half. The second book is called To Love Like a River, A Mother's Resistance to Deep Pain and Even Deeper Love.
Ooh.
it's still working itself out. But I was wondering, you know, I was wondering if I could read something.
Oh, for sure. Okay. I would love that.
Great. Yes. It's a really, you know, I have to say this is a very compelling story that talks about the fur industry and Aspen in the 70s and how crazy of a time it was. But of course, intermingled and layered within that story is the natural world. And this is something that came to me when I was finding peace. My church is in the mountains, where holy water is born, flowing down the mountainside to fill a lake for my baptism. Red rock and green forest offer colors deeper than stained glass. Moose, lion, bear, and bird make up the congregation. My church is in the desert, where far-off arches blend into the sunset, or in a blessing of snow as I glide my skis through the trees, quietly contemplating all that I am grateful for, chasing rays of light through the dark forest, remembering we were all part of this oneness.
Mm. Yes.
Do you like that?
I do.
Yeah, I love
it. I'm so grateful to be meeting with you today to be reminded that what surrounds us, you know, and we were just chatting before this interview. I was saying that I hardly ever get into the woods, you know, and you said you got to do it, you know.
Yeah, you got to do it. It's, you know, clients ask me, you know, what's the magic pill? What's the key to happiness? And I always say meditation, and it's, people are very dissatisfied with that answer, but it's true. It's being quiet with yourself. And for me, the best place to do that is in the forest or next to a creek. And I know people who would be scared to death to be in the forest all by themselves. But for me, that's like the best, you know. And I think for most of us who live in this area, this is why we're here. We're here to be quiet.
And we have a lot of distractions, that's for sure. And it seems like they're just ever so growing every day, that there are more and more distractions. And I think that even our little tiny, our community of Carbondale is changing so fast. And
so fast.
It's becoming more and more fast paced. People are driving faster. People are honking at me when I'm riding my bike.
I'm not sure it's safe to ride our bike around town anymore. It's really strange. But hopefully we can really come home to ourselves and remember that we are all part of this, and we are all not only part of the wilderness, but we're connected to each other. And as you lift up yourself, so do you lift up the whole. So that is, if nothing else, that is what I hope you walk away from or with, you know, is lifting up yourself lifts up the whole.
Well, I just want to give you a little plug that I went to you for a little healing session. Gosh, it was
a long time ago.
Almost 10 years ago, almost, I would say. But speaking from my personal experience, I know you're, Jess is the real deal. She is a true healer and a psychic. And I'm honored to be here with you today, Jess. And
thank you.
I hope that you listeners look for her book, For Trees So Tall. How can they find it, Jess?
They can find it, of course, on Amazon. It's on, you can go to fortreessotall.com and you can get the audio version, which is available on Awesound. You can get the Kindle or the paperback on Amazon. And for those of you who do not like to support Amazon, you can also get it at Barnes & Noble. And the Audible, I read the audio version, and there were passages that I could not get through without crying because there are still unhealed parts and parts that really help me wake up to who I am and what made me this way. And the guy who met, you know, my production manager was like, no, cry through it. It's going to give you connection to your audience. And I just, I put my heart into this and I really believe it's great. It's compelling. We are pitching it to Hollywood actually for a miniseries. It's a lot of great stories about, believe it or not, about cocaine and all kinds of crazy things that you would never imagine sort of also connect with nature. But it is through the cocaine and the prostitution and the food insecurity and all the things that I have lived through in my life, nature is what brought me home.
Mm. Thank you so much for sharing this book with the world, Jess, and everything
Thanks.
That you do and raising your beautiful family here in the Roaring Fork Valley. This is Jess Jacobson, and she says, life's the school, love's the lesson. Check out her book, For Trees So Tall.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot for being here today.
Thanks,
Jess,
for having me, Cody. I really appreciate it.
We're going to go out with Queen Bees, who are playing tonight, Brian, at Steve's Guitars. Check them out. Thanks, Jess.
Thanks.
Davey White, where is he tonight? He's sleeping with her in a Tennessee town and he's fine. Lost my mind, my wasted time. I'm dreaming alone in a hotel bed that is mine.
Born to count to match his name. Kept my virtue just the same. So I can offer to my love a bride he could be proud. Sure, I held his heart till a Louisiana girl tore us apart. Watched him as he turned away into his arms where he stayed. Davey White, where is he tonight? He's sleeping with her in a Tennessee town.
Wow. Thank you so much, Cody and Jess, for that great interview. We're listening to the Queen Bees, like Cody said, a collaboration of local favorite female artists playing at Steve's Guitars this evening, starting at 8 p.m. You can get tickets for the in-person performance or enjoy the live stream via Grassroots TV on YouTube, presented by First Bank Carbondale.
That's right. And, you know, women are ruling this weekend because it is the last weekend to see Thunder River Theater's company all-female cast play called Men on Boats. 10 explorers, 4 boats, 1 Grand Canyon. The truish history of John Wesley Powell's 1869 expedition to chart the Colorado River. I saw it last night. It's lots of fun. Great cast.
Week.
Yeah, so
really
you can
fun.
Get more at Thunder River Theater. Theater spelled with the RE.com. And what else is going on out there?
Man, tonight at 6 p.m. at the Launch Pad, we've got a free art talk called The Dance of Social Justice.
designed to be an introduction to visiting dancer from Boulder, Colorado, Hellenius J. Wilkins. He was on the show last week. And his project, The Conversation Series, Stitching the Geopolitical Quilt to Rebody Belonging. The event includes a sharing of artist performance. That's tonight, with samples and a Q&A. More events and workshops on Saturday and Sunday. It's all free. More info at danceinitiative.org.
That's right. And that's where I'm going to be this weekend. The community conversation is tomorrow, 3 to 5. And we'd love to hear all sorts of different voices come out and talk about what belonging means. And then, of course, it is October. That means Oktoberfest at Sunlight Mountain Resort. Live music, food, drinks, raffles, and fun. And it supports the Kirsty Ennis Foundation. That's from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. all day. And it's going to be beautiful. Bands include Shady Lane, Rodney Rice, and Whiskey Stomp. Woo!
Wow. Never a dull moment in Carbondale.
Never a dull moment. All right, Bri. See ya.
See you next week, everybody.
Yoo-hoo!
Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself. Whatever you do,